I remember last Christmas we got out by 12 o'clock and they posted on the news a miracle. So we're going to believe for a miracle this morning. Would you lift your hands with me to the Lord? I believe that the God of peace and the God of glory will visit us today. And we just ask him to come by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, move in this house this morning. Move upon our lives. We come to celebrate the birthday of Jesus. Thankful today that you came to the earth as the Son of God. You walked obediently. You gave your life. You ascended to the heavens. You're seated at the right hand of the Father. You're also seated in our hearts this morning. So we bless the Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus. We welcome you. Amen. You can be seated. And at the end of the service this morning, we're going to do a candlelight. Of course, no one uses candles anymore. Everyone uses their cell phones. Everyone's gone to that and because of all the fires. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I wanted Danielle and Todd to read you the scripture this morning, and grasping the scriptures of the Lord. And what I wanted to share with you is very Christmas oriented, but maybe it has a little bit different thought today, because I just don't want to rehearse the same thing over again. But I want to talk about that gift of the Lord and understanding that there's always a motive when we give. And we look to the highest giver of all, which is the Father, and the motive that he had when he gave his Son, Jesus Christ, to us, said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the Father expressed to us the greatest sacrifice that could ever be expressed towards anyone is to give the thing that's most precious to them, which is his own Son. You that are parents here this morning understand the gravity of giving a child. There could be no greater gift than that. Most of us can't even begin to contemplate what that would require on our part. So when we look at the Father, we look at him with great appreciation, realizing the depth of his sacrifice, the depth of his gift was beyond reason, beyond something that anyone could expect. It was so profound, because who would ever have ever thought that the God of the universe would come and sacrifice the thing that was most precious to him? And by giving that gift, he would receive us. I guess if we were to look at that analytically, we would say he didn't get much of a bargain, you know, because we know ourselves as human that how could we value ourselves in the same value of God? It just doesn't make sense, does it? But it does to him, because he created you in his image. He created you in his likeness, and he created you for a purpose. And the motivation of the gift was the motivation of love that was so intense. See, love has the ability to take that which doesn't even seem to have substance and create something from it. Love is a creative gift of God that literally reaches into this realm and begins to set on course something that never was before. God literally changed the course of history by this sacrifice that he made. He opened the door so that we, as the human population, the human race, could actually begin to enjoy the pleasures and the glory that he has. The same glory that God gave through Christ then becomes the glory that rests upon you and I. So there comes a time in history that glory will be revealed even more so than we see it today. How many believe that? That we're only at the beginning of the unfolding of the glory of God to the earth. And many of you that have been around have witnessed the glory in many ways. But now we understand that we've only had a smidgen of expression revealed through us, that there's a whole vast array to be revealed to us in the future. Amen? Isn't it nice to know that you're at the beginning of something instead of the end? Well, the good news in Christ, he's both the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. So in Christ, we get to share in the beginning of experience, but we also begin to share in the ending of experience. The completion of perfection that God brings the body of Christ into, the one day that we all be formed and shaped and fashioned into the image of his Son. For just as he is, so we also become. That's an inevitable thing that happens to the believer. Your destiny is not to wind up where you're at or to be locked into what you are. But by the very nature of giving, it creates the atmosphere for change and transition. See, it's only through an act of sacrifice or an act of giving that you begin to position yourself for the birthing of change. Last night in a dream, my father was in the dream, my natural father, and a lot of people. And I was actually speaking to my father because he was telling me things that were disturbing. And I told my dad, I said, "Dad, remember, you can't live in the old. You must embrace the new. You can't lock yourself into the thing that you perceived yourself to be or the thing that you others that may have spoken about you, but you've got to embrace the new thing that God wants to bring to your life." Isn't it amazing that in the Immaculate Conception, when this word that came to Mary, and she says in Luke, she says, as she pondered this, she said, "Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word." She became a vessel that was willing to manifest and reveal the new thing that God wanted to bring to the earth. See, God is still looking for a people that will allow his word to manifest something brand new to the earth. Amen? Could you be that people? Are you one of those that says, "I will not hold on to the things that was or is, but I will embrace that which is to be in my life"? It takes a certain amount of courage and fortitude for an individual to make a statement bold enough to say, "I'm willing to let there be a transition take place in me that will reveal something in me that's even greater than who I've been." What a challenge to our own nature to say, "Could really something happen in me that would be greater than what I even anticipated I am?" And that's what happened to Mary. "Lord, let it be done unto me according to thy word." And so Mary became that place that conception took place. And God said, "Behold, I'm doing a brand new thing upon the earth. Shall it not spring forth to birth?" So we're living in an hour that God is about to spring forth something brand new in the midst of us. Amen? Amen. How many are excited for the new? Well, I don't know. Are you really? Because it says that once we've had the old, we don't want the new. Because the new threatens our existence. So Mary could have said to the Lord at that moment, "Well, you know, God, this sounds all wonderful that you have chosen me to be your servant to be this carrier of this Savior, this Emmanuel, this God to be with the earth. But Lord, you know what? I don't know if I really want that. It would be so much easier if you just let me stay in Nazareth with my husband and live a quiet, uneventful life." Isn't that kind of the human nature? We want to live a quiet, uneventful life. And there's nothing wrong with that except this. God may have something greater for you than you ever dreamed. Maybe your life will be quiet, but I'm going to venture to say, if you really open your heart to the Lord, it will not be uneventful. Right. Amen. Because when you receive him, it said those that received him, he gave them the power to become the sons of God. This word that God spoke became flesh and dwelt among us. And to those that received that word, he gave them the power to become the sons of God. That's quite a bit of change, isn't it? It's a metamorphosis that most are kind of fearful of, because what does it take to take this natural man and transform him into a man of God? Wow. Hallelujah. Sometimes we feel like we're pulling something through a strainer, because sometimes we resist this change and this transformation, because it says every man that has the old doesn't desire the new wine. Because when you take the new wine, if your wineskin is old, if your receptacle, in other words, hasn't been prepared to receive what God has for you, then that new wine will actually burst what you have. Hallelujah. So are we ready to take a new drink of wine in our midst? Everybody hold your hand up. Turn up your wine glass. Woo. We better not do that very often, or we're going to be drunk. Let's do it again. I kind of like being drunk. Drunk in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Woo. See, our heart's like a womb. And the womb receives the seed. And so our heart has to receive the word in order, by the Holy Spirit, in order for there to be a transformation in our life. So when Christ came, he came as the manifestation of the word that God spoke. See, everything that God does, he does it by the word of the Lord. It's his word, isn't it? So the Lord came and spoke the word to Mary, and Mary received that word, and the word dwelt in her and became flesh and dwelt among us. The same principle holds true with us, because the Lord didn't stop with Jesus. That's where a lot of people get confused. They think, well, the Lord did it all through Christ, and so if he did it all through Christ, then we just simply are a bunch of robots down here worshiping him and praising him, then one day we die and we get to go to heaven. That's not really the full purpose of what Christ wants to do, because he wants to replicate the very same process through a people that he did, and he started in his own son. His own son was the first one to come to birth. Now it says God wants many sons to be birthed into the same glory that the Son of God was birthed into. Hallelujah. Emmanuel means God with us. Everybody say it, Emmanuel. God with us. Glory to God in the highest. When Christ came, the glory of God now was dwelling upon the earth among men. But this same process today, that this birth is not a one-time experience in the annals of Christian theology. It's an ongoing process that God wants to take place in the church, where we become the exact representation of the Father also by the word that we receive. When we have that concept in mind, then it takes off this unlimited possibilities that we're so limited in our own thinking about who we are and what we are and what we're to be, because we're limited by our environment, our circumstances, our education. We're limited by what other people say about us. But once we have the word of God, we're no longer limited in what we were. Now we have the unlimited God beginning to be expressed to us, through us, because now we're hearing his voice. We're being led by his spirit instead of the things of the world leading us. So a gift can make a real change in things, right? When we receive this gift of Christ, you know, little did I know that night in 1970, that cool October night when I stood in the backyard of our home, little did I know that gift I was about to receive would bring this much change, would bring this much transformation, would bring all the things that pertain to life and godliness into my life. I didn't expect all this. I didn't expect to have the kind of family I have, the wife that I have, the children that I have, the grandchildren that I have, and the ones that I have of you. I didn't expect that. If I would have known all the glories of God, I would have run eagerly many years before. Because I have not seen nor ear heard nor entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for them that love him. Those that received that Christ first loved us and gave himself for us. Those that received that gift, that Christmas gift of Christ, what God has for them. Are you happy this morning? Yes. Isn't it wonderful that God has given us a gift, and his name is Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins, but more importantly, he will set them on course to become the children of God, the sons and the daughters of the Most High. See, we are both two things at one time. We're both a Mary. Everybody say, I'm a Mary. I'm a Mary. Hope you say it with a straight face. Okay. I am a Mary. And you are a Christ. Hello. Christ, the anointed. What does the Christ mean? The anointed one. So anytime he reveals or manifests himself, then we can say, there's Christ. Christ in you, it says, the hope of glory. There is a Christ in each one of us. There is a Mary with each one of us, because it's our openness to receive as she received, to be done unto her according to his word. And it's this inevitable, because one thing that happens, once you receive the gift, there's an inevitable thing that begins to take place in your life. It begins to transform you, whether you like it or whether you don't. The young lady may say, well, I don't want this pregnancy. Sorry, you've got it. It's going to transform you. Just give it a little bit of time. You're going to begin to notice its effect. Because the effect is that you begin to reveal something being revealed in you. Now, the tragedy with many people in the Word of God is that they've received the Word, they begin to show the effects of the Word of God, but they refuse to enter into the labor to bring forth the Word of God in their life. Amen? Some people need midwives to help them along. Some need one of them, what they call them, shots that deaden. Some need epidurals. Because I've watched a lot of people over the years that are kicking and screaming because there's this thing that God put in them, but they keep resisting its delivery and its birth. How many know the feeling? See, there comes a time when you got to say the required months are up, and it's time to reveal what's in me. Because if you carry that child past its time, it's destined to die in you. Then God has to go through the whole process again and again and again, because once the Lord's got his hook in you, remember this, he will never let you go. Well, I'm going to try this Christian stuff for a while. If it works good, then hallelujah. But if it doesn't work the way I think it should work, then I'll just back off. No. The Lord keeps impregnating you over and over again until finally you say, yes, Lord, let it come forth. It's destroying me if it doesn't. And it will. Because the Lord is like that one that watches over you to birth that's what's in you. Not only did he give you that what you need, but he will take and hold your hand through the process if you let him. Amen? Some people are like the woman, though, that's in labor and she's about to birth and she's in so much pain, and the one that she partnered with in order to have this experience, she looks and curses him out. Because you did this to me. And some people are that way with God. Because just when God wants to birth in them, they look to the Lord in anger and say, why am I going through this, God? Why are you letting me suffer in this stuff? But the Lord said, I'm ready to birth something in you. Don't you understand? Quit blaming me for what I gave you. Because it's the precious gift of life that wants to be expressed through you. Wow. Are y'all registering? Maybe I'm just talking to myself. I don't know. I've been known to do that. Especially after you wake up from a dream and you've been talking to your dad that's been gone 20 years, you know. In fact, it's weird because it was 20 years ago. In December, what was the day he passed away? It's almost that time, isn't it? And maybe it was yesterday. It's 20 years ago. I didn't think about it this way. 20 years ago, 1999, that my father, Houston Hart, passed away. And I'm dreaming about him last night. I didn't draw the conclusion. Maybe it has to do something with 2020. Hallelujah. Do you think that something could happen in 2020?
Yes.
How's it going to happen? You let the old die, yes, and you embrace the new. Yeah. Amen. How many want the new? Yeah. How many would like to see something happen that literally blows your mind? Yeah. Well, you've got to let the old die in order to see that happen. Dad, I told you in my dream, let it go. I don't understand all the intricacies of that at all. But this birthing has a purpose to reveal a whole new person. He said, behold, I'm going to make you a brand new creature. I'm going to reveal in you something that's never been seen before through a people. I'm going to express myself through a people just the way I express myself through Christ. This Christ that comes to give us everything that pertains to life and godliness. I'm going to bring this new person, and his name is Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. And what is he going to do? He's going to bring my glory to the earth. What are we going to do as a church? What's the church's greatest destiny upon the earth today? It's not to build an institution. It's not to have four walls and a piano. It's not to have a program. It's not to have any of those things, even though those things we enjoy. But the greatest thing the church is to reveal the glory of God to the earth through each individual expression and each individual member. See, you may not attach much importance to who you are. I don't know. Some of you may think of yourselves more highly than you ought to. But most of us tend to think of ourselves less highly than we should. Because there's a value and there's a deposit in you of value that God wants to reveal to the earth called glory. Everywhere you go, everyone you meet, everyone you touch, every word you say has the potential to reveal the glory of God to the earth. I dare say that probably none of us here are destined to be the next great evangelist of the earth. Maybe some of you are. I don't know. I don't know if there's any successors here to Billy Graham or any successors to Rodney Howard Brown or any successors to Reinhard Bonnke. I don't know. I haven't recognized that in any of you yet, but I do know this. You have the power as an individual to reveal to the earth the glory of God. Amen. And the honor that he gets is the same as if someone that's reaching multitudes, because you never know the value of what you can give with a gift that you give to someone else. The gift of life that Christ gave you. Hallelujah. I'm excited for y'all this Christmas season, because I just sense that you're going to go out in the world and just start sowing seeds, sowing life to others that are in darkness, others that are in need. And you're going to keep saying to the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. And that word gets in you, and when you become pregnant with it and you're carrying that word to term, you're gonna be the first one to say, okay, let it come forth, Father. I'm ready for it to be revealed in me. I'm declaring to all of us this morning, this 2020 will be the year that we will not be known as the people of resistance, but we will be known as the people of compliance and yielding our hearts to the Lord. Hallelujah. Have you ever noticed the people that are in this modern day resistance movement? They're just mean and angry. There's something wrong with that, isn't there? Because anytime you take up a resistance, I don't care what kind of resistance it is, it may be a political resistance, it may be a resistance against this or a resistance against that, you carry with you the wrong spirit. But when you carry the heart of humility, you're not here to resist, you're here to yield. And in that yielding, you become what God calls you to be. Wow. Every generation has the opportunity to reveal and to birth, or to birth, let's put it this way, not to reveal, birth and to reveal the anointed one upon the earth. And I charge you this morning, be that generation to birth and to reveal. To birth and to reveal. Say it with me. To birth and to reveal the word of God, the glory of God to the earth. Amen. Did you see Mama kissing Santa Claus? Amen. That sounds good to me. Amen. Come on up, guys. The Lord is good. Someone said, made a joke out of that when Mama kissed Santa Claus, the divorce rate went up, you know. You know, I can remember back in 1952, my sister and I went in the living room. That's where we had the Christmas tree. And we'd push the couch out a little bit before we had it all pushed out. So we snuck in and got behind the couch. Like we could think nobody could see us there. You know how kids are. And we were peeking because we wanted to see what Daddy was putting under the tree. Did you ever get to go out and the parents would put stuff and then you'd sneak in there and you'd try to manipulate the paper off? Get the tape up, you know, and you just did it real slow so you wouldn't tear the paper, but inevitably you'd mess it up. And then you'd try to fix it back. Don't you know that it wasn't really a secret? They knew what you were doing, right? But that's part of the fun, isn't it, of Christmas. And it's kind of like with the Lord, isn't it? Lord, we've been kind of hiding behind the couch. We're kind of looking, seeing what you're going to do next. The Lord said, come on out. You don't have to hide. Just come on out here. I don't want you to be, I don't want you to have to think about what's going to happen when you unwrap the present, because I'm going to show it to you. Amen. I can say this morning in true faith and without being dishonest at all, which I normally am not. So I love you like crazy. Amen. I do. I love you like crazy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You're about the best Christmas present I've ever seen. I said just about the best present. Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, what we're going to do this morning, we're going to sing Emmanuel, God with us, and then right after that, we're going to turn the lights down.
Ooh.
And turn the lights down low. And then we're going to take out our cell phones, if you have Ooh. One with you. I know you're not supposed to bring them to church, but some of you may have one with you. And then we're going to put the lights on, and then we're going to sing Silent Night. How many does that bring back fond memories to you? Amen. So we're going to do that now. We love you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. Just hold your hands up. I just pray for you today that this be your greatest Christmas, because this is the Christmas of revealing the gift that God has given you, that you may become also that gift to the earth, that blessing to the world. That as people sing these songs during this season, some of the people are going to be thinking about you, because they're going to say, hey, that one, I know this person is revealing who Christ is. Thank God that he gave Jesus, Christ is our Savior, that he was birthed upon the earth, and that he lives in each one of us today. Amen. Praise him.